Hello everyone, hope you're very well. My name's Bernadette Russell and I'd like to welcome you to episode 4 of How to Be Hopeful. And I've called this week's episode, If I Can't Dance, I Don't Want to Be Part of Your Revolution. Shamelessly stealing a quote from Emma Goldman, anarchist, feminist, political activist and writer. Because this week's thinking and chat about hope during lockdown and beyond is all about dance and dancing. And this week I'm speaking with a fantastic woman called Natasha Kamjani, who is the co-artistic director of Folk Dance Remixed, along with Co Fletcher, another amazing woman. They're a brilliant company who fuse hip-hop and traditional folk dance to live music, sometimes around an actual full-size maypole. Yep, they are awesome. Folk Dance Remixed are one of the amazing companies who've responded creatively and joyfully to the lockdown, and here is the sound of their Folk Dance Remixed Friday. I love words, obviously. I'm a writer, so I better love words. But I can get tripped up by words sometimes too when they come out wrong or I just can't make myself understood or I can't understand. The last few weeks of lockdown have been full of words, beautiful poems and official announcements. We've been scrolling through written words on social media expressing joy, pain, rage, disappointment, grief, so many words. Some people use words on Twitter like the needles used by the bad witches in fairy tales. Sharp little pricks disguised as gifts to cause mischief to someone or another. And there we have words as weapons, and also words as shields, and gifts and comfort. And I love them all. But sometimes they don't seem enough, or they seem too much. I don't know if you ever get that. Now, the very night I finished the first draft of my new book, I went to do a turn at the wonderful Variety Night. That is Vera Chock's and Charles Adrian's anti-Valentine's Day bash. In the show, Vera danced wildly and brilliantly and just invited us all to dance on stage with her. Now, Vera's an amazing, beautiful writer and speaker and a performer. But she's one of the people who helpfully reminds me from time to time that sometimes it's just best to leave words behind and dance or move or just tear about. And maybe that's one of the reasons why exercising is so good for us. Natasha Kamjani is another person who always reminds me that dancing is great, a source of joy. And Tashi's also a mum, and this week I've been reminded more than any other week of what parents are going through at the moment. As my friend said, there's not much time for quiet contemplation and deep thinking when you're looking after two kids, homeschooling and trying to do a day's work. So thanks to parents everywhere. When I clapped this Thursday night, another group of people got added to my list of people who do deserve my gratitude, and that is parents, so thank you. Natasha Kamjani is one of them. Here she is. Yeah, so first of all, my lovely, could you just tell us your name and how you are?
Hello there. My name's Natasha Kamjani and I am okay most of the time and slightly frazzled. Hashtag.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. Yeah, no, it's good. It's really important to be honest at the moment, I think, about how we're all actually doing. The first thing I wanted to ask you was to just... because I thought I'd like to hear this story of how you and I met, how we first met and when. Can you remember?
I think that we first met through the South Bank Centre. One of my companies that I run, because I'm always running those things, because you wouldn't be like living in London if you didn't try to juggle about 25 projects if you're a freelancer. So the company I run with my friend Kerry Fletcher is called Folk Dance Remixed. And we were commissioned by the South Bank Centre to do a project called The Secret Garden up on the roof of the South Bank Centre, and they introduced us to you and Gareth as the writers. I was really excited about that because I love working with writers, and we used students from Lewisham College, and I live next door to Lewisham College, so that was really handy. And I've still got the pictures of that, and it was brilliant, that project.
So have I. It was so colourful, down to you two bringing all that colour into the world. And I have still got, Natasha, they gave us some seeds, do you remember, from the garden?
And
I've still got some of those seeds, yeah. So I must plant, actually I shall plant them tomorrow in our honour. I should do that tomorrow.
I've still got some of the woolly hats and scarves.
It was so...
There were some left over and I was like, I'll have them.
It was really colourful. Yeah, I was going to say to you actually, I know, and you've now reminded me that you do so many things, because one of the things I was going to ask you to talk about was your company and what you do. Would you mind sort of focusing on Folk Dance Remix? Because I know you've got loads, but just that.
Yeah. So, my main company that I work with, I'm co-artistic director of Folk Dance Remixed. And what we do is we fuse traditional English folk and folk from around the world with hip-hop music and dance, or the styles under the hip-hop genre. So the street dance styles, the locking, the house, popping, and we fuse that with the folk patterns and footwork. And we normally, well, right now, we should be on tour, touring the UK. So we got our Arts Council funding this year, and was just when the lockdown was happening, we were due to start rehearsals the week after. So, that's what I sort of mainly do. And we go out with our Maypole, and we do our Cady Jams and Street Dance Maypole workshops. We have a show, and it just brings joy through connectivity, through holding hands. And
I can't express enough how much I love it. It's such, those two particular styles of dancing are two of my favourites. And you two are just, I have this image from when we were in the South Bank Centre of you and Kerry, who's your co-artistic director, sitting like these gorgeous little naughty pixies underneath this maypole, just looking cute and kind of gorgeous and a little bit scary all at the same time. It was absolutely brilliant. So we'll talk about that at the end, about how people can find you. But just absolutely fantastic, really, really lovely mixture of genres and... absolutely joyous.
Thank you.
The one thing, we'll come back to that in a minute, but I wanted to sort of, because this, even though I didn't want this podcast, I didn't know, obviously know the pandemic was going to happen, and I was interested in talking about creativity in relation to being hopeful and positive. I'm particularly right now sort of inspired by the creative response to COVID-19 from artists, also from people that probably wouldn't even usually call themselves artists. And I just wondered, before we talk about what you're doing during this period as an artist, if you have any sort of favourite creative responses that you've seen during lockdown and self-isolation, whether that's a big thing or a small thing, anything that's cheered you up?
Well, I suppose my next door neighbours have really cheered me up, because, funnily enough, one's a choreographer, one's a performer, one's a personal trainer, and the other one works in sort of the more the technical side of theatre. And a couple of them were coming out every day doing what they call hashtag daily dance. And I was always like trying to do breakfast and making the pancakes and doing the dishes. And I just kept on looking at them, and I'd pop out and go, God, that's really good what you're doing. I'm going to come out one day. One day I'm going to come out and I'm going to join you, because that's really good what you're doing. They were doing it via Zoom to some of their students, I think, that they teach. And one day I was doing the dishes and I was like, just sod it. Put the rubber gloves down in my slippers, went outside, and I started joining in. And my daughter came out with me, she's 10, and that was honestly like a week into lockdown. That was the best morning I've had all year. Like, as far as we're outside, it was sunny day, we're dancing, I'm dancing, I always teach. So I'm not teaching, I'm joining in, and I feel free, and I feel under the sun, and I feel we're outside, and they're so positive and young, and they're just brilliant. So they've been, I would say actually to you that my next door neighbours have really inspired me.
That's amazing, Tash. And that's been on Facebook, hasn't it? I think you've posted.
It has, because I joined in with them on that, and then I was going to, do you know what? I think you could do more with this. I said, you're onto something here. And I said, we should get the music, because I've got a PA and I've got a mic. So we should get everybody out. And then we did. So I did the warm-up and they did a routine, and then we did it again this week, so it's the second week. We had about 25 neighbours, and we chalked off, in our muse, we chalked off like 5 metre pods. And even like this little 3-year-old from number 7, she didn't come out of her pod. She stayed in her pod. My little boy, Kehlani, he just tends to run So we take me and Sky take it in turns to like rugby tackling back to our pod. Finding it confusing, isn't he? Like, why can't I hug people? But yeah, so we've got these like chalked off areas, and we've got the whole Mews dancing now, which and every Sunday at 11. So that's
amazing. Whereabouts in London are you, Tash?
I'm in SE4, not far from you, Paddy.
Yeah, just round the corner.
SE4 Broccoli. It's been a great community spirit actually going on around here, right in the sort of the red zone, really, aren't we? Of the pandemic, really, and for Britain, where sort of London's been a bit of a hotspot, hasn't it?
Yeah, but you're right. There has been such a beautiful community response, particularly. I mean, I'm going to say particularly in South East London because I'm a South East Londoner. But it does feel like there's loads of stuff going on here, doesn't it? Really lovely.
Yeah, I think there definitely is. I mean, it's always tinged with a bloody ambulance siren because we're right near Lewisham Hospital, so. I think when I've been doing like stuff on work and I've had to go and shut the window, I've been recording a lesson for some kids I teach in Hackney with Mimbre, and I'm like, I was like going through the counts without the music on. I'm like hearing a siren. I was like, oh, let's quickly put the music on. Like thinking I just need to cover that up. So that's been like, it's just a constant reminder, isn't it, in the back of your head that when you hear those sirens, it's pants.
Yeah. Part of an unwelcome part of the soundtrack, hearing that, maybe being reminded of what's going on. I was going to talk to you about that actually, because that dancing on the doorstep, I wanted to tell you because I thought you'd like this. So my mum's friend, well, she's actually an in-law of ours, Joy, her and her neighbours, who are all in their 60s and 70s, they've started in their little cul-de-sac in Hampshire coming out on the doorstep and doing their daily exercise together. And I think some of them didn't know each other before this, so that's been like super nice as well.
We've got a Mews group actually, like in our where we live, and loads of us didn't know each other. There was all the parents always knew each other, but not sort of the young professionals. So now we're all in touch, and I've seen other people doing it. Like one of my friends called Helen, I forget where from Dance East. We worked on a project, and she's doing one in her. I don't even think she's leading it, but it's happening in her road. And I almost thought, God, we could be like Rent a Street crew, couldn't we? We could go around with a PA. I'm trying to think of entrepreneurial ideas to keep my bank balance from going to minus, minus, minus. So in this time, I'm constantly always thinking, I have a lot of ideas anyway, which sometimes is a pain in the ass. I'm like, oh, couldn't you like rent a dance? What did you call it, Bernadette? You called it dance. You've given it a name, or what we're doing. Dance in the street, dance the neighbours.
I did, didn't I?
Dancing on the doorstep.
Doorstep dancing, yeah.
You could come into business with us because you've come up with the name.
Well, that's my gift.
dance, what is it? Dance what?
Dance doorsteps or dancing on the doorstep?
.com.
Yeah.
Co-director Bernadette Russell.
No. No, that's yours, Tash.
Could rent us out. Police would like it, but we could literally travel around from road to road.
We could do is part of the annual sort of celebration / commemoration / honouring of all the difficult things that have happened during this pandemic, is have an annual dancing doorstep-a-thon by yourselves and Kerry.
Dancing doorstep-a-thon.
Write that down. The other thing I was going to ask you is, apart from the dancing doorstep-a-thon that you're doing, have you got anything else going on as an artist, ways that you've found to be sort of creative, really responsive, that have been enjoyable for you as a dancer, as a choreographer and as an artist, or just to sort of help money come rolling in? What have you been up to?
Well, funny, because I suppose every time I'm feeling a bit crap or I sort of really think about what's going on, I keep saying to people, like, I go into my dance bubble and everything feels okay. So I've been going into my dance bubble as much as possible, really. And I was meant to be working for the South Bank Centre last week doing Beethoven 9, which was obviously the anniversary of Beethoven, with Marin Allsop, who's a very well-known conductor, who I've never met. So I was meant to be working on that, thanks to Susie Zump, who's an amazing animateur. We worked together a lot in the opera world. Don't ask me how that happened. And the South Bank Centre were great, actually, and honoured part of my fee, even though I hadn't completed it, which I was really appreciated. And they said, if you come up with any ideas, you don't have to, but if you wanted to come up with any ideas, we'd love that. So for the Easter for their Easter entertainment, I set up a family dance battle. And I basically just filmed myself doing a warm-up, taught five steps, I wrote them down on a bit of paper and stuck it to my wheelie bin, filmed myself outside. And then Frank, my partner, didn't want to do it. He's not really into online stuff. So I made Skylar do it. She had no choice. And then obviously I've got my neighbours. So I was like, if you're in your house and your family don't want to join in or it's just you, you know, maybe suggest this to your neighbour, see who you can get. So they came out at a distance and they learned the routine. We learned the routine and then we faced each other. We did like a battle. And then at the end of it, me and Skylar went and Bex and Ruth went. And then we each did a freestyle. And then that was the end of it. And nobody really won or lost. But we called it family street dance battle, or it could be really neighbour street dance battle.
Yeah.
And I filmed it, edited it, put lots of subtitles to it because my sound wasn't great. And we'll talk about technology, I guess, in a minute. Trying to be an artist and also be a technical wizard, tricky. And I sent it to them. I thought, oh, I bet they don't use it because I've just done it on my phone outside my house. And I put an egg box on top of a swing, my little boy's swing, as my camera stand. But they loved it. And they put it onto their blog and they sent loads of people that way. And it's had quite a few hits on YouTube. And it's still there. And I'll probably pull it off and re-edit it so it's not just from the South Bank once they finish with it. And push it out there because anyone can use it. And a few of my daughters, I put it on her school, you know, WhatsApp group for the parents. And quite a few of them did it. And they said they were really crap dancers, some of the mums. Or they're not confident, they're not crap. And they said it was easy enough for them to do. So they were chuffed and they really enjoyed it. So I've got some lovely, lovely feedback. And then it just thinks, oh, at least you're putting a little bit of joy out there. Do you know what I mean? And that took me a fair few hours to film it, edit it.
Mm.
Kind of just did it, really. You didn't think too much about it. But I think it's had about 150 views, which, you know, that's good for me.
No, it is. And it's amazing considering there's so much out there at the moment, isn't there? There's even more out there. And I'll make sure that on the description of the podcast is the link to that, Tash, and all your other stuff. So if anyone's listening and they want to catch up, it'll be in the notes to the podcast.
The Remix Fridays thing is the thing that's really sort of taken off.
Oh, right. Tell me about that.
Well, because our company, obviously, we're meant to be touring, I was saying to Kerry, like, because how can we sort of keep a presence? So Mimbre, who I teach for, they're an acrobatic company. Do you know Mimbre?
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing. They've always mentioned me, like Lena from Mimbre. I think she's like a superwoman. Amazing. So they started a virtual warm-up class for their immediate company members. And I've sort of invited myself, really, even though I'm not an acrobat. And I was joining that every morning just to keep the company together. And I said to Kerry, I think we should do that, although we've got musicians and dancers, so it's a bit different. So we did we paid everybody for one rehearsal, not much, but out of our funding, we thought, let's do one Zoom rehearsal and see how does that work, because there's a delay, we've got musicians, we've got dancers, how's that going to work? Tried it out, and it sort of, some bits of it worked, some bits of it didn't. And then I suggested to Kerry, why don't we just check in with each other once a week via Zoom, not paid now, whoever wants to, whoever can. We'll do a warm-up together, and then we'll split off into, musicians go into one of, because you could split off on Zoom into rooms. So the musicians go into one room, dancers go into another, and we both work on the same section. And then we come back and we do it we have an audio track running and they play along to the audio track with themselves on mute and we dance along with just one person up. And we found actually we were able to sort of just do like a nice warm up together, have a chat. We talked a lot about what funding was available for artists actually. And our beatboxer, he's done loads of research. He was really up on it and he really helped everybody. So that was nice. And
so there's also a place where you can all find support as well and help each other out.
It was so nice. And then I said to Kerry, why don't we do... Well, this idea came into my head about Folk Dance Remix Fridays. Like we could do one video a week to showcase one of the company members to keep a presence out there. So I asked my friend Ben Moss to do the first week, and he's a dancer, Morris dancer. He's also a singer-songwriter, super talented. And he did the first week. And that was with Mikey J from Boy Blue doing the track, and he plays two fiddles, like machine guns in a way, but beautiful violin fiddle with machine guns, just playing, and it's called Single Thread. It's a really poignant song for now, for these times. And then I did week two, and I did it with my neighbours and Skylar, and I taught them a bit of the show, and then I did like the bleepers, not the bleepers, the outtakes when we're going wrong, and the rehearsal process. So I did the final cut and then all like it's a 9-minute video, so I thought, oh well, whoever wants to watch it, Will and whoever doesn't just watch the first bit. But folkies love, they love things like that, so they tend to watch the whole thing. And that's had, I think, probably about 850 views.
That's amazing, Tash.
And I asked everyone to share it because I said our company are used to putting out joy and spreading a bit of happiness, and I want to keep that going.
Yeah.
So please share it. And people, like, flipping shared it everywhere, so that was great.
Well, you do, Tash, as well, and I think a couple of things are really interesting for me. Technology I'll come back to in a minute, but via you and Kerry, I've really come to appreciate particularly dance, because actually at certain times words are really difficult. Knowing what to say is really difficult. Knowing what to talk about without skirting near difficult things, if you know what I mean. So for me, and I'm not a dancer, but I love dancing, that dancing and moving feels like an incredibly beautiful thing to be able to do with people at the moment, which is past words and doesn't need words. Does that make sense?
It does, but it's bloody hard to do a Katie without holding hands. But we did one on the video. You can see it. We're all, like, pretending to hold hands.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, because it's contact dance, isn't it?
It is, but we found a way, because when Kerry and I remix the Katies, a lot of the time the folky version is holding hands and the funky version is not holding hands. So I was already used to adapting it. So then when we did it on for Folk Dance Remix Fridays, which you can see if you link it.
Yeah.
We did, at the end of the video, I just was like, come on, let's just do the Kaylee. And I just called it and we did it. And the neighbours were like, that was wicked. Didn't know you could do that. And I miss actually teaching Kaylee. And I never thought I'd say that. If you'd heard me 10 years ago and I didn't even know what Kaylee was. And now I'm like, God, there's a lot of power in bringing people together through dance, like what you said. And
yeah, there is. It's and weird. I also think what a beautiful thing that's happened in the last few weeks for all of us artists and everybody, because everybody has that power, don't they, to be creative and be artistic, is we're really seeing the value of art, I think. And that's a little bit poignant as well, because so many of us have lost all of our income. But I just wondered if you feel at the moment that art sort of has a place in making this easier for everyone. And what you think that might be?
I definitely think the arts has a massive place in just keeping people's minds on a positive frequency. Because, like, my daughter's gone to art, so she's, like, just doing loads of drawing and artwork. And for me, dance is an escapism, and it just brings that feel-good, adrenaline-free, drugged vibe. Sorry to say that, but it's, like, it is free adrenaline, and for me, it definitely brings that, and it's brought it even more so because I'm not always leading stuff now, so I'm getting to join in stuff. Like, I've been joining in my next door neighbours, and it's like, I just love it. So, and I hope it makes everybody, you know, the government and people that are in charge of funding realise how important the arts are, because it just improves your mental health, full stop. And we were already facing so many cuts, and a Folk Dance Remix runs on a shoestring as it is. And I think we make amazing things happen, like we all do, for not very much, really. And people are always trying to get us to do stuff for cheaper
or for
free. And it's like, hang on a minute. I mean, I'm doing the Folk Dance Remix Fridays thing for free in the hope that it keeps our company on a platform.
Yeah.
In the hopes it pays off eventually. But
Well, actually, hopefully, Tash, what I really hope for you is it will mean that lots and lots of people see it and are like, oh, that was wicked. I'd like to try it out in real life, you know. That's what we're hoping for. But I think we have to be, I think we as all of human beings, all of us an artist and everyone that works in every sector, I think we have to be positive but also real about what's going on, because some of it's really difficult. And I don't think you have to immediately say, oh, everything's great, we're just fine, when actually there are some really difficult things going on. And one of the things I've been talking to yourself and other artists about is sort of acknowledging that. And I wondered if you minded, if it's not too... just to talk a bit about the impact that it's had on your company and you as a freelance artist and a mum, in terms of what impact that's had financially, how that's made you feel in terms of your security.
I suppose as far as the company goes, my business partner Kerry Fletcher and our manager Frances Watt, I mean, they did both put like hours and hours and hours of work into getting the funding. And so we just sorted out a rehearsal schedule that's got like 30 artists on it that juggles which days they do and which days they can't. And, you know, to have that all wiped out overnight was just heartbreaking really. And Kerry, I just really felt for her, because I'm more the sort of, I guess, the show face of folk dance with me. So, you know, they're the nuts and bolts and the people that keep it running. Without them, I would never do it. So that was really difficult. As far as being a parent, it's extraordinarily hard to work from home as a freelancer, because my brain's always on the work, as well as I've got to, I really want to nurture both my children and try this, you know, try to make the most of the homeschooling. But I've got a 10-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my partner's not really into the homeschooling side, but he's amazing at loads of other things. So I'm trying to hold that. I'm trying to hold many balls, and I feel like a professional juggler. And actually, today, yeah, I definitely this morning woke up and just thought, I can't do it. I quit the juggling. And then I had to teach for Mimbra, and I'm like, no, you can do this. And I have really enjoyed teaching. And then Skylar she was outside with my neighbours drawing in the sun. And I thought, well, she can do the written stuff later on. She's having a nice time. She's getting vitamin D. She's drawing. She's chatting to them. It's not me. There's four lovely artists next door that she can have a chat to. So just whatever, that's the day. I wanted her to get up and do 30 minutes reading and 15 minutes online spelling shed and da-da-da-da-da. And she's here now, actually. She wants to ask.
Hello, Skylar.
Hello.
Hello. I can't find my pencil case.
I think it's in the kitchen on the table, your pencil case.
Oh, she's get back to drawing. It's very important.
I've asked to do some cards because one of my neighbours suffered a loss, and I wanted her to do a card for my neighbour. So I've asked her to do that. And one of my neighbours also gave us some amazing cinnamon swirl buns for doing the dancing in the muse.
Oh my gosh.
To me and my next door neighbours who've been running it from at New Cross Buns, big shout out to them, because they tasted like heaven.
Heaven buns.
Like, what a nice thing to do. Sheila, my neighbour, 2 doors down, ordered them for us because her 2-year-old, her 3-year-old joins in with us as a thank you. So I've asked her to do 2 cards, a thank you card for that, and a thinking about you card for my neighbour at number 21 whose brother-in-law's passed away yesterday. So there's lots going on. There's lots of highs, there's lots of lows. There's lots of good things.
I think you're absolutely right, and it feels really important that we stay with each other and we talk about all of it, because actually it's complex. There's good things, there's bad things. Sometimes there's a good thing and a bad thing in the same moment, isn't there?
You said that in the same sentence. There's two really sad things and a really positive thing in the muse happened today, really, or yesterday. So no, I'm a bit up and down. I have one of my friends, Kate Scanlon, I don't know if you know, she'd be a good person for you to interview. Scanners Inc. Her name's Kate Scanlon. She does Monday morning live feed on Facebook, always to support artists. And I spoke to her and she just said, you have some up days and down days and you just have to sort of go with it, don't you? And I feel like I definitely have up hours and down hours in the same day, where sometimes I'm on a real roll and then sometimes I'm like, I've got a breastfeed in the middle of a Zoom meeting about a job. My little 2-year-old was like, boop, boop. So I'm like, okay, just tilt the camera up and hope for the best.
Yeah, there's so much going on, and it's all going on in our homes, isn't it? So it's not like we have the other spaces to go into. It's all going on. But what sounds amazing as well about your experience, Tash, and it's to do with you and your amazing energy and your enthusiasm and your beautiful joie de vivre, is all those lovely connections with your neighbours and all those really nice things. And I guess I'm interested in, because I'm thinking about hope and I'm thinking about how we could harness any of the positive stuff from this and learn from the negative stuff, actually, looking forward to the future in a sort of hopeful way. If for you there are any changes or any of the things that have happened that you're like, do you know what, I'd quite like to keep hold of that. Whether that's, I don't know, you can hear the birds more, or there's no pollution, or whatever that is for you. If there's anything that's happened in the last few weeks, if there is anything that you're like, I want to keep that change, I'd like to keep hold of that.
I suppose there's a few things. One is, I'm loving the less pollution, because I've always got a cough. So when I go in queue in the shopping queues, I'm like literally almost crying because I want to cough, because I've got obviously ripped up vocal cords from shouting over music for 20 years. So I'm loving, I can definitely sense a clearer air. I can definitely sense that, and that's lovely. I love the connecting more with my neighbours, and we've got a cocktail hour we've got now.
We're going to have
in our 5 metre blocks. So we're going to teach on a Sunday at 11, and at 7 we have a cocktail hour. And pre-cocktail hour, now one of the kids on the Muse is really talented musically. And then the dancing neighbours have got a keyboard. So they're going to bring it out, disinfect it, and she's going to play. She does guitar and she does all like requests. And then anyone else that wants to offer up something is going to do like Sunday night entertainment on the Muse, which is nice. So that's really nice. Maybe we could keep that going in the summer months. That's lovely.
That'd be amazing.
A selfish thing for me is I've got a vertebrae out of place since I had my little boy. And I've always wanted to get to Pilates classes and I never can. And one of my really good friends from one of my first contracts when I joined a circus when I left college, called Natasha Noether, is doing a Pilates class and she for injuries, which is amazing. And my cousin, Natalie Gillett, who lives in Ibiza, is doing streaming free Pilates classes. So I've been getting to do Pilates every day and it's really helping my back. So not having to travel somewhere, it's really convenient. And I would never really do classes online, but I would definitely keep that up. And I think, you know, for one of them, she is charging because it's her only income. And her classes are amazing. And I would do it. I would subscribe. She's letting me have a freebie because it's all about who you know, isn't it? And my cousin, they're both just like, it's a really positive way to start the day.
Yeah.
And they just do like body awareness and breathing and positive. It's just brilliant. So I would definitely love to keep doing that. Yeah, and I also, you know, I'm very hashtag grateful because I'm in a really good situation compared to a lot of people. So all the things I've moaned about and stressed about, I feel like, you know, I'm just a privileged person really because I've...
Well, gratitude feels like a really big part of it, doesn't it? From the Thursday night clapping for the NHS and sort of being reminded of who we've got to thank. I know it sounds a bit sort of, you know, it sounds a bit worthy, but I'm really glad to be reminded of that, actually. I'm grateful to be reminded to be grateful, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I've worked for them. I don't know if you know, do you know the Flying Seagulls?
Yes.
So I worked for them a few times and I went out to the refugee camps in Greece and I'm sort of keeping an eye on what's going on over there. And, you know, when you think about people in other situations and what they're going through, so, you know, we're very lucky here at the moment in London. Let's hope it continues. Because we've got our grocery stores, haven't we? You know, we've got Amazon, we've got everything still. Well, while the bank balances aren't minus, 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 we can still do what we can do. But we're talking about, I don't know if you edit this in, but talking again about the power of the Kaylee. When I was out in Greece doing work with the Flying Seagulls, I remember one of the highlights of that was doing a Kaylee when I didn't speak Arabic and...
Could you just explain actually what the Flying Seagulls is, just in case?
The Flying Seagulls is a project run by Ash Perrin, and they're humanitarian clowns, and they go out and they set up amazing projects on refugee camps. And I went on one. I've done a few bits and pieces for them, and I'd love to do more, but it's hard with the kids. But I went on like for 10 days, and we were in Greece, and one evening... Because it was often we were entertaining the kids, but one evening it hit dusk and it was a beautiful evening in October. I think it was 2017. And lots of the parents had come out because he'd bought these fat suits, sumo wrestling suits, so they'd all come out to watch. It was hilarious. And then these Spanish clowns turned up and they all had live instruments. And then Ash just looked at me and I was like, oh God, it's going to make me do a Kaylee, but I can't do it. How am I going to do it? And then between the Flying Seagull, other clowns there and myself, we just looked at each other and I was like, right, we're just going to do this. And we taught a Kaylee, like an ongoing Kaylee, like a fusion of a few, with no words, at dusk, with Spanish clowns, not rehearsed. And then someone came and brought loads of balloons. And it was just one of those absolutely, utterly magical moments of the power of dance and positivity and connectivity. And it was just a beautiful moment. And a few people were in tears and the adults didn't often join in. And it was one of the moments I hold and I can't big up that project enough, the Flying Seagulls project with Ash Perry. There's another person you could interview, like, who's just flipping amazing. I don't know where we got into that, but we did.
I do think they are connected, aren't they? Because obviously we aren't in a situation like the refugee camps.
But
we are in a situation that none of us have had before and we are dependent on each other, aren't we? And we are in peril in various ways and to various degrees. So I think I think that there are connections there, but it's also what you said, Tash, about letting people know how powerful and joyful playing and dancing and music and connecting and holding hands with a stranger and mucking about is, you know, it's that really.
We can even do it without holding hands, because everyone's smiling and laughing on our Sunday morning muse warm-up, and the teaching for Mimbre, and I've got my own little school in Broccoli, DMPO, with my friend Dario, and we're still doing our classes online for them. We just kept them running for free through Easter because we just thought, well, whatever. And Dario, who runs the musical theatre, so I was doing all games and stuff and challenging the kids, and that's brilliant. And I'm just keep going, even if there's not as many of them signing in, I just think, well, even if five kids, you can bring a little bit of joy to five kids rather than there's normally 10 or 15, then I'll keep doing it. Well, that's good, isn't it?
Well, no, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And do you think, one of the big questions I've been asking people is to sort of think about what they've missed. It's because a friend of mine said to me that she had an empty pasta jar. It was when pasta was nowhere, you know. She had an empty pasta jar, and she started writing on pieces of paper the things that she wanted to do when she wasn't having to self-isolate. And she said it was interesting because on her pieces of paper were things like go swimming. They weren't madly big things. They were just regular things. And I wondered what, if you were to write pieces of paper in an empty jar, what might you have? What things do you think you've missed, Tash?
I've missed going and hanging out with my mum, having a cup of tea, going to the theatre with her, going to the theatre with my, I've got a really good friend called Louisa Valenti. We're theatre buddies, and I miss doing that with her. Swimming. Like, Skyla always goes swimming, and, like, Kehlani doesn't know how to swim, so that's bonkers. I think I miss walking into a room and being able to teach people face-to-face. I miss Kehlani being able to touch and cuddle and play with other toddlers. That's quite heartbreaking, because he, as a two-year-old, almost two, just does not understand why he can't. He runs up to people and they back away, and he's like, what
does that? Oh, yeah.
God. And it was one of my friend's birthdays the other day, so we decided to drive round and all be separately outside her flat, and we played Happy Birthday, Stevie Wonder, and she popped her head out the window. But Kehlani recognised everybody. He was like, oh, he wants to see, you know, his auntie Darian. Why, Uncle Dean, why can't I get my cuddles? And that was pretty hard. But,
I guess what's nice, or what I like that, because although it makes you sad because things can't happen, they are coming back to us, those things. Being able to hug people and being able to see our mums, you know, they're coming back to us, aren't they? And actually, I've really enjoyed realising that the real sort of joy and the pleasures of life are quite simple things. It's quite nice to be reminded of that.
Definitely.
You just want to be in a room and eat a cake and jig around and have a bit of a hug.
I mean, I've also actually, I love staying at home, and I never really stay at home. And actually, I really loved being at home, and I love being around the kids all the time. And I've loved, like, going to work, as in going down from the bedroom to the living room. It's like, oh, of course, that's such a quick commute. Finishing work and like, oh, I'm already here. So some of those things, for me personally, as someone that's always on it, I've loved being at home. And I've loved being in my garden. I've got a tiny garden, but my God, I would never have spent so much time in it. And I'm loving it. And I'm like watering my plants and pulling the weeds. I've pulled it. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at snails. And
you had a snail event the other day, didn't you?
Big snail off. We got some cucumber and they seemed to really like that. So we had a bit of a, supposed to be on the phone to you, wasn't I? And I was like, oh, sorry. I'm actually feeding snails. I can't talk to you right now. I'm really busy.
It's fair enough. Do you think those might be other things? Do you think you could make changes for yourself in the future, Tash, so you are not, you know, some of that you can keep as well, like not working?
We don't need to go out as much. I always feel like I have to take the kids out. We've got to go out. We've got to go to a museum. We've got to go to the park. We need to go somewhere all the time. It's like, God, we can go to the garden. You can actually do a lot with a water sensory table, a bit of chalk and a snail. eight hours entertainment with that, and I've got the front muse, which I'm really lucky for. We could play football and frisbee there, like, for the rest of the day. So we just go to the zoo or the park or wherever, just I could spend a lot more time at home and less travelling and running around. So I'm already working a lot as it is, so definitely take that on board.
Yeah, I hope that we all learn from that. I think there could be some really positive, more healthy life decisions from that. This is a big one. This is one of the last questions, but it's quite a big one. Sort of going back to hope, which is what I'm trying to investigate at the moment, as you know. The question is, what do you hope for the future? What gives you hope? What gives you hope that the future could or might be better?
What gives me hope for the future is, I suppose, looking at, well, you know, it's like climate change is like right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we can make these differences so quickly when it's a pandemic, we should be doing that for climate change.
Yeah.
What the hell was that about? All of a sudden, homeless people are all off the street. Well, that should be done anyway if we've got the power to do that. For God's sake, that should be done. So in the future, it's like, come on, guys, wake up. Because if this is what this is like with the virus, what's it going to be like when there's no clean air, or there's no the water levels have risen, there's no land? So hopefully that will wake everybody up to the power of what you can do when you put your mind to it.
I think you're absolutely right. We've literally seen it, so it can't be denied that things can happen.
And people support, like that guy Tom Moore, who, you know, like, you know, one person inspiring so many people to donate money. That's amazing that people, you know, we can come together and make such a positive change. So people power, remembering that, you know, just because it's just you doesn't mean you haven't got power to change things. Like, an individual can change things. If you start something, you really can. Like, that was amazing what he did.
I think what you said about people power, recognising that we do have power, we've got agency, we can do things. And also what we've seen, I think, which is really hopeful, is the news is filled with stories of people being really nice to each other and being really kind and being really generous, instead of the news being full of stories of people being awful. So it feels like it's giving us hope back in each other.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you asked a question, or you emailed me the questions, and you were like, who's inspired you? And I'd say that one of the people that really inspires me is you. And then I thought you might get annoyed with me for saying that. But when you put a post up ages ago on Facebook about wanting to put positivity out there. So instead of sharing negative posts or scaremongering posts, and this is before this, you were like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to share positive things, which is why I always share your posts. Because I was very much I would share negative things as well, or put negative things up. And I thought, you're so right. It is so nice, actually, just to like, whenever I see your name come up, I know it's going to be something positive. And when someone says to me, what are you doing tonight? I said, I'm doing a podcast with one of my inspirations. So you utterly are one of my inspirations. And I've got some of your books and I love them. And I love all those little cards you do to people, for your neighbours. And I think all the ideas you come up with, you're like a legend. You're so a stated legend that should just be, I don't know. I just think you're brilliant. And you're one of my absolute inspirations. And I haven't got many. And thank you for being so, so positive and so hopeful. And so you're like a little secret nugget of hope yourself, to be honest.
Oh, that's really nice. Thank you.
Don't cut out either. I want to
lastly, really importantly, Tash, because people who have heard you speaking, and there's a lot of information, and I'm going to put all the links up, but if we wanted to find you, if anyone listening wanted to find you, and or if they wanted to support you in your work in any way, what's the first stop best place to go?
I suppose it would be Folk Dance Remixed is where the company lives, and that where we've got presence on social media channels. And then I'm on Instagram as Natasha Kamjani Artist. And I've got my Natasha Kamjani YouTube channel. But all of those things, I've never really put much effort into my stuff. It's more the folk dance remix stuff is big. My website's been on my to-do list for probably 20 years. And it's still on my to-do list because I seem to have no time. But it is natashakamjani.com. And that will take you to all those social media channels.
Okay, so we can find you. I'll make sure all the things are there. And just as a last little thing from you, if someone's listening, they're like, do you know what? I'd really like to dance, but I can't really dance, or I'm a bit rubbish at dancing. What would you say to somebody who is thinking that? And what can dance do, and why should somebody dance?
I think that they have a go at something online. Try my Family Street Dance Passport. It's for absolute beginners. Dancing just gives you free adrenaline. It will just make you come. It's like doing headspace or doing meditation. You have to focus on it so your mind can just relax with everything else, and you just have to focus on the moment, be in the moment. It's really good for your motor skills. It helps prevent dementia. It works different parts of the brain than other skills do. It's exercise for the brain and the body, and it will release happy endorphins, the same as eating chocolate.
Whoa.
Get your dance on, get your dancing shoes on. And if you want to do some more dancing, I can do something live on Facebook. Just let me know. I'll create something.
But the message is dance, because it's as good as chocolate.
It's on a level with chocolate. I really am a big chocolate fan, but it releases happy endorphins, and that's free. It's free. There's loads of stuff online for dancing. Or look me up and I'll make you dance.
Talking to Tesh, so inspiring, and it really, really made me want to dance. And to paraphrase Emma Goldman, who I mentioned at the beginning, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of this lockdown. And so I hope you'll join me. I like to have a little invitation to action at the end of each of these episodes. Find your favourite song. That might be a pop song, that might be a classical song, anything you like. Play it loud. Obviously, I'm not inviting you to disturb your neighbours, but if you can, play it loud and just dance, go wild, go crazy, and lose yourself in having fun and dancing. Even better if you're lucky enough to live with someone, dance with them, dance with kids. They're the best at dancing. Everybody knows that. If you can dance in the garden, maybe you can get your neighbours to join in, as Tash has done. And just before we go, the last little thing you'll hear is Tash and her neighbours and her daughter just going through a few of their steps for the doorstep challenge.